How to stop being strung along by a guy and get what you deserve. 5 steps to a serious relationship. Written by Xloss. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom: The Scum Villain Self-Saving System by Mo Xiang Tong Xiu. Rating: General Audiences. No archive warnings apply. Relationship: Luo Bingha / Shen Yuan, aka Shen Qingqiu. Luo Binghe's entire body aches, but when he forces open heavy eyelids, it's his uninjured wrist he stares at. While he can explain the split, stretched skin itch of his back and the spasming of his core-exhausted leg muscles, the 14-year-old boy can make no guess as to what's causing the tugging sensation he feels. It's as if someone has taken him lightly by the hand and is gently urging him to his feet. At first, he doesn't understand what he's looking at. He wonders whether he somehow managed to wipe blood on his arm, despite having passed out lying on his side with his hands curled in front of him. Perhaps he scratched at his stinging shoulder blades at some point in the night. Luo Binghe blinks, his vision resolving. It isn't blood. It's a thin ribbon of qi, just as red. His labored breath stops up with wonder. Hello, he thinks, smiling helplessly, heedless of the pressure his lips widening puts on the tender, bruised skin of his pummeled face. Hello, hello. Someone new has been born into the world, and they are Luo Binghe's someone. He had long supposed them younger, 14 years younger by now. If one is not an immortal master, such a span of time is not trivial. Still unmatched at 11, Luo Binghe bore this in mind when he sought to become a cultivator himself. He'd worried they would never come. He'd resigned himself, almost, to there being no such person. But there is. There must be. How lucky for them, Luo Binghe thinks, without envy, to be born with a red-ribboned wrist, and never to know his own doubt. To go through a whole life assured of the fact that, to someone, they are perfect. Just exactly right. One can only see and feel the twitch of a soulmate ribbon when it's been charged with a touch of qi. Luo Binghe's efforts to heal himself have brought the new-made bond up to the surface of his skin. It's easier to see one's own red string than it is to show the thing to others, the difference between having a feeling and articulating it. People who haven't refined their own qi rely on talismans and fortune tellers for this, on rogue cultivators, matchmakers, and doctors' tests. Some of these means are unreliable, and some of their wielders unscrupulous. Common people generally seek a few opinions, and thus pan the wheat from the chaff. Luo Binghe's brand new ribbon is curiously taut. Not lax, winding for miles and miles towards some unknown infant, but vibrating with tension, shifting, now and then, with another person's movement, fine, minute adjustments. For such a thing to register, the other party must be very close indeed. In the woodshed, where Shen Qingqiu had him whipped half to death only hours ago, Luo Binghe scrambles to his feet and hardly notices the strain of it. Excitement carries the boy down a path he has never walked before, towards a house which must be his master's. No one frightens Luo Binghe more than Shen Qingqiu, for all it feels unfilial to think it. But not even Luo Binghe's cringing, dog-beaten trepidation is strong enough to overcome his buoyant hope, the high passion of his young heart. Suppressing his meager qi like anything, Luo Binghe carefully, soundlessly picks his way to the window and leans against the timber beams of the frame. His own ill-fed slenderness ensures that he stays neatly tucked out of sight. He listens for the voices of visitors, and finally grows bold enough to risk a cautious glance into his master's receiving room. The sect leader himself is there, speaking to Shuzun. It seems that Luo Binghe's master has been very ill indeed. Luo Binghe feels somewhat guilty that his sympathy for his strict, unforgiving lord is only perfunctory. He hears Shen Qingqiu's cool, assured voice dismissing his Shixiong's concern, as though a qi deviation were a cold rather than a brush with death. Shen Qingqiu himself comes into view, and Luo Binghe processes the visage of a man who more thoroughly looks the part of an ethereal immortal than even Yue Qingyuan, in pieces. First Shen Qingqiu's loose robes, then the fan in his hand, and at last his controlled, austere expression. When Shen Qingqiu lifts his free hand to brush back a silken lock of hair, the string on Luo Binghe's wrist jerks like a dog's lead. With wide eyes, Luo Binghe pushes a surge of qi down the line, enough to explain the matter to his own heart's satisfaction, and too little to show anyone else the truth of the thing. Luo Binghe watches a loose blur of red, visible to his eyes alone, flare and fade around Shen Qingqiu's wrists like a festival firework. The shock has Luo Binghe flinging himself away from the window, reeling wide-eyed against the cottage's exterior wall. How can it even be possible? It isn't. The string would have shown up before now. For him, for Shen Qingqiu. And everyone's seen Shen Qingqiu circulating his qi to heal. The action reveals the dead black ribbon at his wrist. Shen Qingqiu undertakes the operation without expression, without comment. The ribbon is a testament to a soulmate who's passed. Whatever Ning Yingying says about the fluttering inch of string at the bottom of the loop. Yingying thinks the ribbon end isn't supposed to be there, if your soulmate's dead. She says it's what you'd end up with if you cut the thing on purpose with a sufficiently powerful spiritual sword, like a falcon frantically snapping its own jesses. But Luo Binghe can't believe that, even of a man as cold as Shusun. Who would willingly sever a soulmate bond, leaving some living man or woman to either do the same or drag a long, dead black cord behind them? Who would be willing to give up being someone's... being loved? Yue Qingyuan emerges from the house, dismissed. His expression is fixed in civility, but his eyes are deeply troubled. He seems worried. Brisk, agitated steps bear him away from Shuzun's bamboo cottage. When he's sufficiently far off, Luo Binghe turns his head back to the window. With some surprise, he catches Shen Qingqiu doing exactly what he himself was only a moment ago, listening hard to Yue Qingyuan's retreating footfalls with an intent, severe expression. At last, the sound fades entirely, and Shen Qingqiu's face. For all his wariness and rigidity of his performance before the sect leader, once Shen Qingqiu believes himself truly alone, he exhibits every sign of distress. Before Luo Binghe's wide eyes, the man's fixed, graceful reserve melts into worried vulnerability. There's an edge of bright-eyed franticness about his expression. Shen Qingqiu seems almost to be arguing with himself. He paces, he draws himself up short, he makes expressions of profound annoyance, he rolls his eyes. Shen Qingqiu is uncharacteristically animated. Those large brown eyes are so quick and lively that he isn't Shen Qingqiu at all. Unlikely as this seems, isn't it more probable than Shen Qingqiu acting so oddly? Than Shen Qingqiu developing a new soul bond with his absolute least favored disciple, who's never before manifested such a thing himself? Luo Binghe is looking at someone who is, for some reason, disguised as Shen Qingqiu. Whoever they are, they're new to this world, and somehow, they are Luo Binghe's. Gathering his wild suspicions and his courage, Luo Binghe slips to the cottage's door and gives it a respectful rap. Shen Qingqiu gathers himself and coughs. By the time the stranger asks Luo Binghe to come in, he is sweeping his fan back and forth before him with a slow, regular motion, the very picture of gentlemanly hauteur. but Luolvingha knows what to look for, and so he sees the bone-white grip of Shenxingqiu's knuckles on the fan blade, the tension around his supposed Shuzun's eyes. Luolvingha's soulmate is evidently quite capable of deception, but he's scrambling. He's terrified. This, then, is not a creature who planned to be here. It has not claimed Shenxingqiu's appearance, or perhaps even his actual body, with premeditation or by force, and he or she, or whatever term rightly applies, is adaptable and clever. If Luolvingha hadn't woken up clutching the telltale giveaway of what had happened by a wildly improbable whim of fate, then this stranger would have fooled him, just as they had Yue Qingyuan. And why not? Who ever heard of a cultivator as strong as Shuzun being possessed so completely that even the sect leader of Songqiong couldn't definitively determine what had occurred? Bingha, the stranger murmurs in shock, before catching themselves and repeating, Luolvingha, in a far colder tone, as if to ask the boy before him what in the hell he thinks he's doing in his master's private residence. The creature has access to Shuzun's memory, or has had a chance to look through Shenxingqiu's papers. They could know or guess Luolbingha's identity. But the use of Luolvingha, either in part or in whole, is a clue in its own right. Shenxingqiu hardly ever addresses him by name, and when he does, he never says it like this, the words pooling in his mouth, the edges curling up with soft surprise. Even the second try is some degrees too warm for Shenxingqiu. Who are you? Luolvingha asks, before he can even think about where it'd be best to begin. Shenxingqiu's nerve holds. His eyes flash, but it's not backing down yet. Did your Shuxiongs finally beat what little brain you were born with out of your head? The creature tries. You ought to know your own Shuzun by now. How long has it been? The creature is actually asking how long he's been a disciple here. Luolvingha can tell. Despite himself, he smiles. That's quite good, isn't it? Luolvingha kneels before his Shuzun's body to show good faith. I've been Shenxingqiu's disciple since I was 11, he answers. I'm 14 now, and you aren't him. You can't be. Luolvingha holds up his wrist, draws a deep breath, and with all his meager strength, pushes enough chi into his meridians that it spills out, shooting through the link between them. The energy moves like liquid iron poured into a blacksmith's mold. The circlet of red at Luolbingha's wrist burns hot, and then the short chain between them. The fire then catches at Shenxingqiu's wrist, and in answer to Luolbingha's call, it glows with a comfortable certainty of a blazing hearth in winter. With some difficulty, Luolvingha tugs his eyes away from that cheerful glow, back to the shocked expression of a creature who wears Shenxingqiu's face like a gown that suits him better than it ever did the first owner. That's impossible, Shenxingqiu says. Luolvingha doesn't... And in my world, we don't... They swallow. I didn't intend any of this. I haven't done anything. Luolvingha doesn't think Shenxingqiu means to address him exactly. But even so, Luolvingha makes his voice gentle to counter the contained panic in his soulmates. No, I didn't think you did. Luolvingha looks up through his lashes, feeling oddly bashful. What's your name? The stranger regards him, as if wondering whether it can trust the boy. Poor worried creature, Luolvingha thinks. To fear even someone as weak as the battered child before him, even given the still glowing red link between them and everything it means. Admittedly, Luolvingha is a cultivator in training, not a good one, perhaps, but a disciple of Songqiong nonetheless. He should be wary, suspicious of this creature, of this apparent bond between them. He isn't. The creature kneels down on the rushes, bringing its gaze level with Wu Bingha's. "My name is Shen Yuan." They try. And when the world doesn't crash down at that, they draw another steadying breath and continue. I was a 20-year-old man in a very different world, one entirely without cultivation, without this. He holds up his wrist, the action pulling Bingha's with it. This close, the link between them is short and tight, which Lul Bingha finds he doesn't mind at all. "I died," Shen Yuan continues. "Maybe 2 hours ago? I died. And then I woke up, and something told me that it had brought me here to replace a man whose life ended before it was supposed to." Shen Yuan breaks off, looking down at his own strange hands. He rolls tea over them. For a cultivator, the gesture is as normal as cracking one's knuckles, but Shen Yuan's clear, communicative eyes widen with shock. He looks up at Luo Bingha, and in turn, Luo Bingha dares take the offending hand in his own. He gives it a firm squeeze. It may crackle with magic, and it may look and even feel alien to Shen Yuan, but it's still just a hand, see? It's touchable. Shen Yuan is here, with Luo Bingha, alive and real. In the moment, Luo Bingha feels nothing at all about Shen Jiao's passing, in the face of Shen Yuan's miraculous presence. What enabled it hardly occurs to him. "It's all right," Luo Bingha says. He fails to specify what exactly is all right about this queer variation on reincarnation, but that hardly seems to matter as much as promising Shen Yuan that it will be, and giving him a palm to wrap his fingers around. Luo Bingha realizes that he hasn't offered anyone comfort since his mother passed. He hasn't been able to help anyone. He hasn't realized until this instant what a significant part of himself he's let lie fallow, and how much he's missed it. How strong he feels when he can help. With some surprise, Luo Bingha finds that he likes himself better when he feels capable, and when he has someone to care for. Shen Yuan is 6 years his senior, and seems admirably pragmatic, but he's been newly born into this world. Luo Bingha has no idea what dying feels like, but he watched his mother succumb slowly to her end, well before her time. There's something so sad about another boy, for all he called himself a man, passing younger even than Bingha's mother had, with so much life before him. "You must have been so scared," Luo Bingha offers, letting past tense gently occlude present reality. "You must have felt so alone." Poor new-made ghost, unwillingly dropped into a stranger's body in a very nest of cultivators and left to protect himself. "I'm fine," Shen Yuan waves off his concern. "I know this story well enough. We tell it all the time, in my world. A man sent to live in a strange realm bumbles around asking, 'Where am I?' I promised I'd never make such an ass of myself, if it happened to me. And everyone dies. I'm hardly unique in that." His tone takes on a light snappishness. There's no self-pity in it. A touch of wryness wrings out any petulance, like water from a rag. "Yuan Ge," Luo Bingha says, a huff of laughter lifting his voice. "If you can't be upset about your own death, what can you be upset about?" Luo Bingha knows he's being very familiar with a near stranger. He wonders whether alluding to Shen Yuan's untimely end will distress him, or, given Shen Yuan's apparent bent toward amused philosophic rationalism, if it might offer enough levity to make the catastrophic comic, and so a little bearable. But this is the other half of Luo Bingha's soul, unexpectedly given to him, choosing to share his secrets with Luo Bingha. If not for this strange chain of mischances, Luo Bingha would never have met his match in this world. It all strikes Luovinha as so wonderfully impossible that conventionality would itself be inappropriate. It's horrible that Shen Yuan has suffered, but to Luovinha, the whole thing feels more like a close call than a realized catastrophe. He will have to be more careful with Shen Yuan in the future. Shen Yuan smiles at him. It's such a fond expression. Whatever shall I do with you? He reaches down to pat Luobingha's curly head. Luobingha wants nothing more than to nuzzle into the touch, but he holds himself still, as though trying not to spook Shen Yuan. It's easier to get very annoyed about small things, Shen Yuan confides. Packages that don't come, heat waves and spilt milk. After all, none of that can hurt you very much. Bingha agrees, smiling at him, feeling unable not to. Maybe so, but if you ever feel like it, you can still complain about big things to me. He wants Shen Yuan's confidences, after all. His soulmate finds himself in a trying situation. If the other Peak Lords discover who he is, or rather, who he isn't, Song Qiong could even become dangerous for him. But they have one another now. Luobingha, who has no one else in the world to call his own, will help Shen Yuan survive here, will do anything to keep Shen Yuan safe and content. Shen Yuan sighs. In my old world, you were just a legend, a story. He glances at his wrist, then looks away. A flush creeps over Shen Qingqiu's composed features. Maybe you were always supposed to be here. With me, Luobingha suggests. Maybe the universe made a mistake, and then tried to set it right. Shen Yuan answers that with a snort. You're awfully optimistic at this age. Luobingha can't take the dismissal of his own romanticism too seriously. Not when Shen Yuan pairs it with another tousle of his hair. Shen Yuan doesn't seem ready to so much as consider the way they belong to one another yet. But then Luobingha supposes that he has a great many things on his mind just now. They have the rest of their lives to discuss the subject. Luobingha can wait a month or two. Well, Shen Yuan says, straightening his back and snapping his fan closed. If you already know I'm not who I'm supposed to be, then the universe can hardly object to my healing you up. Come on then, Bingha. Show me how it's done. Luobingha manages a vague explanation of a process he has never completely understood. Shen Yuan frowns, gets up and starts looking around Shen Qingqiu's study, finds a relevant text and compares what Luobingha has told him against it. I suspect it's this here, he says, seating himself once more and tapping a diagram that corrects and completes what Luobingha attempted to recite. What do you think, Bingha? Shall we try it? Bingha nods. Together, after a few false starts, they manage to clear the bruises off his face, the whip marks off his back. Their linked wrists shine with qi. Shen Yuan's hands are gentle on Luobingha's wounds. Shen Yuan figures out how to knit skin closed when the underlying tissues have mended themselves, and he is a little smug about it. It's a handsome expression on him. When Luobingha looks presentable again, the expenditure of energy and the day's shocks catch up with Shen Yuan. Sitting on the floor, he slumps back against the side of Shen Qingqiu's bed, exhausted. At least I have someone in this with me, Shen Yuan mutters, almost to himself. And if it's you, and if I can speak honestly to you, then we'll probably be all right. Luobingha pushes himself to his feet by means of a possessive hand on Shen Yuan's shoulder. He likes touching Shen Yuan, and intends to find a great many excuses to do so in the future. I'll make us something to eat, he offers. Shen Yuan smiles up at Luobingha, and his face catches the light of the sunset. Luobingha knows that he's destined to love this man, but he thinks he would regardless. Shen Yuan's spirit makes the body of Luo Bingha's fearful, remote tormentor look touchable and kind. The first thing Shen Yuan wanted to do with his new power was help Luo Bingha. The first thing Shen Yuan thought of, in a time of great disorder and distress, was not his own suffering, but another's. His presence makes the peak where Luo Bingha has felt miserable for 3 years, and too scared of what that meant to even let himself admit as much, feel like it could be the home Luo Bingha had hoped for, and had come to Songqiong in search of. Something exciting? Shen Yuan asks, with just a hint of Sajiao coquettishness seeping into the request. There's no trace of heat in his tone. The plaintive lilt of Shen Yuan's voice conjures up a shiver of something Luo Bingha's never felt before. It's strange. It's delightful. Luo Bingha wishes Shen Yuan would do that to him again. Just congee, Yuanggege, Luo Bingha manages. You can't handle anything exciting right now. You've just come through a chi deviation, or literally died, depending on how we look at it. You definitely count as an invalid. I'll show you invalid, Shen Yuan says, raising a feeble arm to swipe at him. The action draws Luo Bingha's eye to the ribbon at his wrist. The glow is fading as the energy they've given it ebbs, but the ribbon is still visible. Luo Bingha pushes just a drop more chi into the tether. He finds he likes it visible. He dances back out of Shen Yuan's reach, without going too far. The motion of it plucks the string connecting them, lengthening but still tight. Good. Luo Bingha never wants to be terribly far from Shen Yuan again. But he supposes that if ever he must be, at least now he has a route out of any labyrinth, a string to guide him home. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thanks for listening.